Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us at Crystal Clear, and we're coming to you live from the free state of Florida. I am joined today by the one and only Robert Shepherd once again. Say hello, Robert.
Hey, hello. Hey, Crystal, and how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. All right, everyone, please give us a moment. We're going to say thanks to our sponsors, and we'll be right back and start the show.
America First Tactical is dedicated in offering you the very best safety, security, and self-defense products available today. In recent years, crime rates, increases in assault, robbery, and the defunding of the police have become a major concern for law-abiding citizens. The police can no longer respond, and you are responsible for you and your loved ones who may depend on you for safety. That's where we come in with tactical products for less. We have tasers, stun guns, self-defense keychains, pepper spray, batons, auto safety, knives, handcuffs, tactical bodywear, firearm holsters, and a whole lot more. For operator assistance, use promo code CRYSTAL for 10% off. Call 1-800-960-2015. That's 1-800-960-2015. America First Tactical.
Although we can't speak about everyone, our founder, Paula Eventrenda, loves candy and was obsessed with it as a child. While in junior high, Paula began making chocolate candies with an elderly neighbor for the holidays. Through many business travels, she rediscovered the art of candy making, and in particular, artisan chocolates from Europe. Shortly after opening her retail store, there were lots of requests for sugar-free candy. Having a grandmother who loved sweets and was diabetic, as well as being worried about the amount of sugar she herself consumed, but not loving the sugar-free candies available, Paula set out on a mission to create healthier gourmet sugar-free confections. If you love chocolate and want it with or without sugar, visit curlygirlscandy.com. That's girls with a Z on the end. And subscribe to their email list for special discounts all year long. Go to curlygirlscandy.com to get sugar-free gourmet chocolate for 100% indulgence and 0% guilt. curlygirlscandy.com. That's girls with a Z.
Like Liberty and Coffee, Liberty Beans Coffee Company. At Liberty Beans Coffee Company, there's an old proverb that we like to live by. It says, never underestimate the importance of being properly caffeinated. Here at Liberty Beans Coffee Company, not only do we believe in freedom and the American way, Jim and Diane invite you to check out their family-owned unlimited selection of delicious and delectable coffee beans that are crafted right here in the good old U.S. of A. Not only is this the richest, most genuine cup of coffee, perhaps after you drink it, you will check out their website at www.libertybeans.com and join by partnering up with Jim and Diane to help you with either you or your favorite group's personally created fundraiser. Liberty Beans Coffee Company. Life, liberty, and coffee. Just drink it all in.
Hi, everyone. We're back. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. And so Robert and I have quite a lot to discuss today. And I guess that we're going to begin with the impeachment inquiry.
Well, that's that, is, you know, and how do you know quite even where to start? That was one of the most incredible things I think I've witnessed in a long, long time.
Absolutely. And I will say, you know, I tried to just, you know, sit there and listen and pay attention. And I was hoping for some intelligent conversation to go on. But boy, oh, boy, was I disappointed. I mean, I am astonished and stunned at the behavior of the Democrats. I cannot believe that every word or argument out of their mouth is Trump, Trump, Trump. No, These hearings are about Joe Biden and his family. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. They can't justify why the money was paid. They have no points to defend his behavior. So what are they doing? They're just going to turn it around and pick on Donald Trump. Well, that's not going to fly with me. That's not why everybody is gathered there. These hearings have nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Exactly. But you wouldn't know it by just listening today, would you?
Exactly.
And you know, to look right into the camera and say there is no evidence President Biden. I was just, you know, stunned.
If there was no evidence, there wouldn't be there.
Yes.
You know, obviously there was enough there that, you know, smoke fire kind of situation that forces them to look into it, that gives them the foundation to make that argument, hey, we have to look into what happened here. And it's like they're just gaslighting the American public, and I don't know who their voters are, or I just don't understand. I don't understand how people can listen and believe that spin.
No, that is, you know, my takeaway as well. And, you know, I thought it was so stunning, actually. It seems like the Democrats all were absolutely out singing out of the same playbook, same hymnal.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And they would not veer from it. There was nothing. Right. Nothing could, regardless of what new evidence might come up. Oh, well, hey, we have this. And then they would still keep that mantra going. And I felt that the Republicans at least tried to be somewhat, balanced in the proceedings. And I don't know. I think, it took quite a bit of, goodness on his part, I think, for Chairman Comer to preside over what happened today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, going back to what you were saying about how they all say the same thing, isn't this what the mainstream media does? They have their talking points, Robert, and they're going to stick to the script no matter what happens, no matter what someone else is saying. It's like, it's so illogical what we're seeing unfolding today. You have people talking about what's going on with the bank accounts and, you know, the steps of how this influence peddling scheme was playing out. And they're like from some other planet, and they didn't hear a word that was said. And they just go on saying things that have nothing to do with what's being presented.
So it's sort of the, if you tell a lie long enough, you're at least going to get some people that are going to believe it.
I guess.
Because I guess that seems to be the theory that was going on.
Well, you know, I kind of have to wonder, you know, and I haven't really looked into it yet to see, but when Elon Musk took over X, formerly known as Twitter, and he did that because, you know, this is where the public debate goes on, I'm curious, okay? Are some of the Democrats who are on there now that they are evenly exposed? Because this is the one place where both sides are going to come and be there and be able to get unfiltered information, which is what we don't get from the media. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And has that had any impact? Are people opening up their eyes on the other side? Because that's what we need. You know, that's what needs to happen, is that they have to start listening and be open-minded rather than judgmental and Trump, you know, evil, bad. And no, pay attention to the facts and listen to what's going on, what the other side is saying. I just don't know if we're there yet.
Well, we did not see evidence of it today. And, you know, I think it is, again, I go back to, you know, historical perspective, and it was so different with President Nixon, because his own party looked at the evidence
and they
felt like that he had done something that did not make him worthy to be continuing as president of the United States. And they confronted him, and they brought it, you know, they brought the hearings on, and it was a bipartisan thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we'll ever see, I don't want to be a, you know, a failure, but are we ever going to see that kind of unity?
I don't know that it was unity. It was just common sense and maybe having some respect for the office and the institutions that we should. Okay. Now there is an outright disrespect that goes on and people don't want to respect that. Hey, he is in the White House and this kind of stuff shouldn't be going down because it looks bad on us all over the world. And I think that, you know, there's just, so much of people being polarized. And also I have to say this, and I'm sure I've kind of mentioned this before, with all the money that flowed in from these foreign countries and all that's being looked at right now regarding Joe Biden, you know, I'm more than certain that Joe and Hunter and his family weren't the only ones pocketing that money. And you have to wonder how many of these other people sitting in those seats today made a few bucks. And that's why they're saying what they're saying. Well, how do we know? They should all be impeached and have impeachment inquiries for every single one of them. I am all for it on both sides.
Well, certainly, I think, you know, from what I have read and understand, there were a lot of red flags going up during the Obama administration from, I think, IRS, from banking officials, from all of that. That, hey, there's something that really doesn't smell right here, but no one followed up or made any kind of inquiry into it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a minimum, it was allowed to happen, if not, you know, even your theory, I think, that there may have been multiple people on the take.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's going on with the FBI, with the DOJ. I mean, there has to be a reason. Unless they're blackmailing them. I mean, we don't know, you know, what the case is, but there has to be some justification. But also for me, seeing the inner workings of Hollywood, you know that if you're not saying the right things or staying in line and staying in your place, that that's going to prevent you from succeeding or having a bigger and brighter and better future. So a lot of these people, of course, that's the motivation. Well, I need to stay in line or else I ain't going to get anywhere because people in power are going to hold me back. So, I mean, I think it's partly that, but all the other stuff, possibility of corruption remains. It's there.
Yes. And thankfully, though, we do have at least a handful of actors that I guess they are secure enough or big enough names that they're able to actually speak their mind. And I so appreciate that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Absolutely. Well, I did, you know, try to listen and just stay calm in spite of whatever nonsense or circus was happening. And real quick, I just want to cover, you know, there was a second debate last night, which I missed and I didn't care that I missed. But, you know, of course, I, you know, listened to what some other people were saying about it. And apparently nothing changed. They had another debate and no one cares. So, what are your thoughts about that?
One of the things I found disturbing is that there was great minutes going on when you would have at least three of the debaters trying to talk over each other.
Really?
Oh yes. They would just chime in, and so consequently, you could not hear, you could not understand anyone because there were at least three, and they did that multiple times.
My goodness!
To try to have one upmanship on the other, but I didn't think it worked well at all, and. I don't know. There was just, first of all, we still have too many candidates.
Absolutely.
And we need to get that taken care of sooner rather than later, I think.
Absolutely. I'm agreeing with you there. But I think for me, you know, then Mike Pence was on Newsmax today and, you know, because it was held, you know, with something to do with Ronald Reagan, and he's all about trying to paint himself like, oh, Ronald Reagan inspired me and blah, 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 like he's the next Ronald Reagan, you know. I don't think so. And I think that that's a real problem with all of these candidates is that they're trying always to model themselves on other people. Okay. rather than just being themselves and having their own message. There's no authenticity in them, and this is why they aren't getting anywhere. Okay.
Well, actually, you know, I don't know exactly what to think of him, but he is an original, I think.
And not in a good way.
He is. I've never quite seen anyone quite like him.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Mike Pence because he pretty much preceded Ron DeSantis in his treatment of Trump and proving himself to be a very disloyal, self-serving career politician in his actions. You know,
yes.
He had a duty when he could have stood up as the vice president and saved this country a lot of heartache and hassle. And even he, had he done what was his job, okay, to not certify the votes or to step in on that level when that was going on, Mike Pence could have prevented January 6th, mm-hmm. should think. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to talk about that, do they?
Oh, no, no. It's his fault.
If everybody at that time would have been allowed just to do their job without being unfairly taking sides and just, you know, going along with what everybody else wanted them to, a lot of things wouldn't have happened. And so they'll sit here and blame Donald Trump for everything.
And the other thing, Crystal, if the Speaker of the House had taken the President's advice and called up the National Guard, we would not have had an invasion into the Capitol to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. But they all wanted it to happen because this is how they were going to get him out of the way. Okay? This was they had planned all along. But I think the other sad thing that emerges from this debate, and, you know, again, I used to be a big fan of Ron DeSantis's. I thought he was smart. I thought he was doing such a great job, and I really liked him. And now, you know, it's so clear to see, Robert. I just feel like he was the guy who had this bright future, and everybody was placing bets on him that he could have been the VP candidate for Trump, and then he could run in 2028. And he had all this bright future. You know what I'm saying? All this possibility. And now, when I see him, when I hear him, it's like he's lowered his own stature by running now. He lost all that, you know, speculation and buzz, so to speak. And it's gone.
Well, yes. He has subjected himself to that. And the other thing is he has not been nearly as adept as a campaigner I had thought that he probably would be. And his numbers actually, while he's still number two from all the polls that I see,
but very
his numbers
far behind
are going
two.
The opposite direction. They're not going up. They're actually, he's losing points or two on almost every poll that I see.
Yeah, but it goes back again to what I was saying. You know, it's not real. He's very plastic. He's modeling himself on Trump's platform. And Trump came before Ron DeSantis. You know, what is he saying any different? I haven't heard it.
Well, I did now, though, think that he probably did as well as any candidate there last night, from my view.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick a winner just based upon, you know, what was said and the reaction, I would say, in my view, it was probably Governor DeSantis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I will say that, but guess what? It's a very weak field. I mean, it's not like, oh, my God, they're all so engaging and strong candidate. They're not. Nikki Haley, nothing, okay? She argued a lot with Tim Scott for no reason, people said. So that's not getting us anywhere. And then you have somebody like Chris Christie. Why he's even doing this is beyond me, because we all know that nothing is going to happen. He's not going to be appointed in any Trump administration or any other administration. And I just don't see it. Vivek Ramaswamy, okay, he's making a name for himself. I don't see anything coming from it. So you have all these different people, and it's like none of them are going anywhere. Yeah, we need to, you know, cut out the fat, so to speak, when it comes to all these candidates, because there's nothing there.
Was that a Chris Christie joke?
No, but now that you mention it, it could have been.
But of all of them, I'm going to be so glad when he's no longer on the stage. He was pretty pathetic last night, I thought.
Well, that's, I think that's the perfect word. And I think that all along, I don't know that Chris Christie takes himself seriously anymore, even. You know, I think that he, even he knows that, you know, he's reached his ceiling, you know, kind of like Paul Ryan. You know, some people get so far sometimes and that's it. You know, they're not getting anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of these people probably, you know, they're looking for a gig on CNN.
Or, you know, or MSNBC.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't even think that, you know, he believes that it's real or that something can happen. It might be a way for him to raise money and make a few bucks and get his name out. So it's self-promotion. I don't see it being anything more than that.
And his goal of anything he can do to tear down President Trump, he also sees that as his calling, I think, as well.
I think so. And I think that he still is bitter that Trump at the outset didn't pick him as the vice president. And it, look, back then they were very good friends and things were good between them. You know, why Trump chose Mike Pence, I think that he did that maybe to please the establishment, because when he was elected, he wanted to kind of bring unity and unify the GOP. So I think that that's why. And I will say one thing I'm pretty sure that was right. I'm not sure if Chris Christie said it, but I do know that other guy who used to be on Trump's side, Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci, said, is that Trump failed to pick loyalists. And that was very damaging to his first term. Because had he chose like a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Oh, this person is good for this and this person is good for that. But instead, what was really needed in Washington were people who were going to be loyal. And he was constantly surrounded by people who weren't. So that's a valid criticism. And I do believe that Chris Christie at one point said that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it is such a contrast between how the attorney general functions in Democratic administrations versus how they did in the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they seem to be, let's try to be even-handed. The Republicans, I think they thought that's what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. But in the Democratic administrations, the attorney general sees their job as to protect the president's back. And,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Keep him out
and
of
they
trouble,
are, yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Well, I think that that kind of relates to something that you and I had talked about before that we were going to, you know, we were going to discuss today is, you know, the state of America. And of course, when you say that, of course, that's a very broad topic. But I think that it does touch on that because of the whole mentality that people aren't there to do their job anymore. And boy, oh boy, has everything been spoiled on how people are thinking this day, these days, you know. We have a very poisoned system.
Exactly. And, you know, I really wish I had a better feel of what the, how the United Auto Workers membership really feel, because historically they have been so in the pocket of the Democrats, but surely they understand that this electric car thing and all of the different things that are being pushed down their throats is really creating a terrible future for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered, very interesting, because, you know where President Trump was last night.
Yep. Yes, I do. And I watched it. Yeah.
So I think that was very, no one does counter, what's it called? Counter, shows better than he does.
Yeah,
he always, every time there's a debate, he has lined up something that,
well, good.
That at least.
Well, good. And I'm sure that the ratings were absolutely fantastic. And on the debate, probably maybe a tenth of the people watched the debate and the whole rest of the country was watching Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were saying, I do hope that these workers can sit back and look at what has unfolded for them, just like every other average American under this administration. They are not taking care of us. And I'm going to say it again. They are not taking care of us, period.
Well, and you know, the polls reflect that too.
Good.
When you look at every issue that I see when I analyze any of the polls, President Biden is totally underwater.
Yes. You know,
regardless
yes.
of what the category, whether it's the economy,
yep.
border, you know, you can go all the way down, and he has sometimes as low as like 20% support.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think that the economy 1,000% is going to be a huge issue for voters on both sides of the aisle. And for people who, you know, just are independents, you cannot deny, you know, what's been going on. And even here in Florida, you know, I have a number of friends who were like me, who came here during the pandemic, and the cost of living has gone so through the roof here for people that a lot of people are already like, okay, we're leaving. You know, it just isn't working. It isn't working here. It isn't working in New York. It isn't working in California. It is, yeah, it just not good. Grocery prices are ridiculous. Utilities have gone up. Gas prices are still, you know, somebody else posted a picture somewhere where it was over $6 a gallon. I think it was in California. I'm not sure, but yes. I saw that. I was like, wow, that's.
I was watching the follow on the debate at Sean Hannity, and he said he saw a $7 a gallon
what?
Gas in California.
My goodness, that's crazy. That's crazy. Ugh. Well, the other thing that was in the news, and I think that it's pretty important for us to talk about, and this goes back to, again, Democrats not taking care of people, even certain GOP people not taking care of certain people. But there was a whole bunch of looting that went on recently. Did you see that?
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what are your feelings about that, Robert?
That is the one of the worst things I have ever seen, that we have allowed in these larger Democratic-controlled cities, for the most part, that yep. I know of. They have created a climate that says, yep. you just go and loot all you want, and yep. we're going to just turn away and not do anything to try to stop it. And, oh, by the way, if we can handcuff the police,
yeah, exactly.
we'll do that too, you know.
Exactly.
Now, well, the one thing they did seem to, the chief of police said, last I heard, they had arrested up to 50 people.
Did they? I heard 20. I didn't hear up to 50. That's a good thing.
The last report I had was and that police chief had a little different attitude too, I thought. Like,
oh yeah, I saw the one guy in the news, but yeah, but I don't like that he said that it wasn't tied in to some protest. There was a BLM protest, and this is the pattern that we mm-hmm. see. So you can mm-hmm. say it all day long, it's not tied, you know, to X, Y, or Z. But every time you have some sort of protest happening, or something like some law enforcement person not prosecuted to the extent that they want, that this is going to be the end result. When you guys don't, you know, stick it to the cops, we're going to go out there. Not only are we going to quote unquote protest, but then we're going to loot and riot. And that's, you know, how we get even. But I think on a larger scale, what this is doing, Robert, is, you know, we talk about what's going on in this country. And another thing that I think is so important that more people need to be discussing is what is happening to our children. These kids from inner cities don't have the structure at home sometimes where there is going to be a father figure to take care of them and stop them from this. Okay. And then you have a school system that is also not doing right by them. And now you also have the government who is kind of allowing this to happen. It's like, why? And Democrats have always done this to minorities. It's like they want them to fail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess from what at least I understand, it seems like the thinking is, if we can keep people from really developing skills of their own and able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, then who are they going to have to depend upon? They're going to have to depend upon the government.
Same thing my friend Christina and I just discussed 3 days ago when I was talking about cost of living. This is socialism, communism. If people cannot afford to keep a roof over their head and grocery prices are insane and utilities are insane and all this is, I can't make it, I'm struggling. Well, who do people turn to? The government. And then guess what? They have you where they want you because you'll keep voting the same way because you need that handout to exist and to live.
Yes, and doesn't that lead us to the issue with the border of why they want illegals here?
Yep.
Because then they can put them on some type of government program.
Absolutely.
And then once they greenlight them to become citizens, then they're going to be banking those votes, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Well, look, I've seen this in New York. It's gone on for years. Many people know better, but because they were dependent upon the government for whatever assistance that they were getting, they knew, okay, I have to vote Democrat if I want this handout to keep coming in every month. So it's, you know, it pays. It pays for them and it works because it keeps them in office and it keeps them in power. And no longer are you hearing or is it being taught that people should, you know, go to school, get an education, get a job or learn something and stand on your own 2 feet and be proud of who you are and what you achieved and what you accomplished. That conversation is gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are so many really great stories out there of people like Dr. Ben Carson.
Yes.
Who was raised in abject poverty. And his mother, you know, I think maybe she was a cleaning maid. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But she made him read books and make book reports to her. She couldn't read them, but she,
wow,
she didn't let him know that.
Oh, that's amazing.
And look what happened to,
yes,
this,
yes,
to this, you know, great man.
Absolutely.
And I think that's another thing. I think there's sort of a backhanded way of saying, well, you're never going to amount to very much. So
don't
even try. Don't worry about it. So what are we missing? You know, how many Ben Carsons and, maybe musicians and others are out there that if they just had a little bit of a hand up instead of a hand out, you know, that no telling what they could achieve.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I mean, again, it comes back to the way that they want to create that dependence on the government. You know, my feeling is if we're going to help people and get people out of poverty, and I said this to one of my friends a long time ago, you know, when it comes to, for instance, to like these single mothers in Chicago and, you know, they're qualifying for assistance. Well, if you give somebody a lousy $200 or $300 or $400 or $500 a month in food stamps, well, yeah, it's going to put food on their table, but they're still stuck in the inner city and their kids are still being shot at random drive-by drug deals or whatever is going on. Why don't you kind of figure it out that you do a one-shot deal where you help them and you lift them out of poverty and set them free, start them up. The money is better spent if it's given in one lump sum and it's done right. And then they can start their life and be on the right track, but they don't want that.
Yes. And the option of charter schools,
yep,
and private schools. See, that is such a great pathway,
sure,
regardless of where they are located. And the Democrats fight that every time they get a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the unions, you know, the teachers' unions.
Well, I don't know that it's about the unions. Like I said, I just think it's all, you know, one big coordinated setup of a system where they're the ones oppressing people, quite frankly and quite honestly. And until this day, it is baffling to me that any Democrat can just pin all of slavery on Republicans when Republicans were the ones who wanted to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's what really propelled Abraham Lincoln to the White House was,
sure,
that desire, you know.
Mm-hmm. But no, they managed to twist it. And I think that it also helps them is that if they're having, I guess, voters who aren't informed, who don't know history, it's, you know, it's good if you don't know stuff because then we can fool you and keep you in that same place.
Well, that brings up a really good point, though, Crystal. I think how did the Democratic Party so successfully turn the tables against the Republicans as being anti, black? How did they? History doesn't support it, mm-hmm. but they have really done a job on trying to convince a lot of people. And yet, you know, the origin of the Klan and all yes. of those things go back to the Democratic Party.
Well, again, like I said, I think that if you're not encouraging people to get an education or do what Ben Carson's mother did and teach them to read a book and write a book report, and instead just tell them, hey, you know, you live in a racist country, so go rob and loot. They're not going to be reading any books to be exposed to that information. And their teachers won't care either because they're of the same mindset. And it just goes on and on and on and on.
And I do think, too, you have to look at the drug culture out there that's had such a negative effect as well. You know, a lot yep. of I'm concerned that a lot of these parents, you know, if you're already high, yourself, you're probably not going to be taking time to think about your child very much.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, everything we have going on with the border and all the drugs flowing in,
yes.
you know, it's not helping.
Yes. You know, and that's one thing that I believe he reiterated it last night. I know he has before. The governor DeSantis has said we need to take it into Mexico against the cartel. He's been very, very strong on that.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear it. You know, there needs to be better policies that actually deliver results. You know, appointing Kamala Harris as the border czar who never shows up, who never talks about it. I mean, what good has it done? It's pointless at this point.
Yes. And, you know, they keep trying. I think I don't remember now what it was. Some other thing she recently got put the head of again. And
really?
You can count on that's going to be the last time you'll probably ever hear about it, you know.
Well, so what do you think about any other new thoughts about Gavin Newsom and what's happening with that? And also, what about the speculation that they're going to get Biden out of the way in favor of Michelle Obama? I don't think so, but you can give me your 2 cents.
Well, that was they think that came from Senator Ted Cruz, as far as I know. That was his theory, and he put it out there. I don't really know what to think about that. I think that is maybe something that just leads to maybe making the people of the Democratic Party feel better, that think that could be a possibility. But I don't think that that's probably going to be a reality. Mm-hmm. You know, she just had done something recently again for millions of dollars. They are leading such a rich and exciting retirement. I can't imagine that she would really be interested in that. What do you think?
Well, my feeling is this. I think that they're so desperate, Democrats, to stay in power to perpetuate the cover-up of their corruption, that this is the reason why Joe Biden was chosen, because a lot of this began to unfold during the Obama administration. And I think that they're so fearful that, God forbid, they can't rob it again, apparently or supposedly. And Joe Biden really has no standing with Democrats. Even Democrats don't want him to run, and RFK Jr. is doing well, but they're not going to give it to him. So then what choice do they have? Okay, let's pick another one of us from our inner circle who's going to run things our way. And so that's whoever that might be. I don't know if it's Michelle Obama. I don't know if they try to stick it out with Joe Biden. You know, we'll see. But either way, I think they want somebody who's going to protect them.
Oh, you know, of course, because they know if the administration changes hands and changes parties with new people at the helm of Department of Justice, and I hope at the FBI and other places, you know, there could be a full-fledged house cleaning. And I think and believe that the I think the Republicans are going to make certainly a much, much better effort of doing that. That was kind of.
I sure hope so.
One of the disappointments, I think, with the last administration. We did not, in my view, go deep enough.
Not at all. Not at all. But I think if it's going to be saved, if anything is going to change, I think there would have to be more than one term of somebody dedicated to doing that, to basically just cleaning up house and starting all over, you know?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, most people that I know or kind of value what they think believe COVID actually was probably the culprit that prevented President Trump from a second term. So we will.
I don't know about that. Yes, in terms of what it enabled them to do with voting. But again, I just want to just say before we forget, you know, when we talked about the whole Michelle Obama possibility, I think that they're going to want someone. Democrats are going to want someone that, you know, even God forbid things don't go right, that they can get pardons, and Trump ain't going to pardon them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But I guess the point I was trying to move to is, you know, the thing, a disappointment to me, we will never know what would have happened if we had had President Trump being reelected in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, and what's really unfortunate about it is the way that the Democrats handle themselves. You know, the only other time we have an example of there being something where things were questioned is Bush and Gore. You remember that. Mm-hmm. And then it was properly looked into, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't like the outcome, and they said Scalia, you know, gave it to Bush, but at least it went to the Supreme Court, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had some examination of it. Here, it was just shut down on so many different fronts that nobody was cooperating. And so that's, I think the American people feel a sense of frustration. And that's why people still question what happened, is because it was never properly looked at. Had it been, then it would have come out that, hey, Biden legitimately won, or if the facts and the evidence pointed to that, okay. But we don't have that. They never gave it to us.
I know. That was very, very disappointing. Multiple times, you know, I think Pennsylvania, others, they tried to get it there, and it just, no one would ever take it up evaluate what was
not going at all. Absolutely not.
Even though the constitutions were violated and you had voting officials taking, you know, positions that only the legislature could have.
And then the people who were trying to speak out, who worked in the voting polls, they were doxing them and all this harassment. And it was absolute insanity, Robert.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, but I don't know. Where are we going to be in, what, a year and a half or so?
Yeah.
You know, in regard to voting, because that's, talk about issues. To me, that's still a very, very important issue that, you know, if everybody legally votes and it goes whatever way, I may not love it, but I'm okay with it.
Well, that's how this country has always been. And I think as long as we have faith in what was done, and that's, you know, what happens, the people choose and the majority wins. End of story. And but here we don't know that. And I cannot say that I feel confident that this is going to actually play out in 2024. I don't think so. I have no idea what's going to happen. Well, I don't like our possibility. Yeah.
I echo your concern in regard to that. You know, mm-hmm. Because time after time you go to bed on election night and it looks like that, you know, the Republican is going to win. And then sure enough, in the middle of the night, some ballots happen to just magically show up, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that we don't see a repeat of that. But I think that there needs to be people in place, and I'm sure that they do this to a certain degree, but I think that there has to be, you know, cameras everywhere where we can, even though we had that going on and there were carts of, you know, ballots being rolled in the middle of the night, you know, I don't know that this time it'd help us, but I think whatever is going to keep some transparency. you know, over the process.
And voter ID, I think, is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a critical piece to make sure that that really is who you have said it is, and they're the one that has voted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, you know, these, you know, dead people that vote. And,
yeah.
And we have incidents in just about every election that, you know, sure enough, that old system still keeps raising its head.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we don't know where this is going to go. I don't like our possibilities. And, of course, I'm sure a lot of Americans are concerned about that for sure.
Yes. And you know, and I think the polls seem to indicate that, you know, the wrong direction versus right direction. It's pretty staggering in the wrong direction numbers in just about every poll that you'll find.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think, what's concerning here, another thing that we should cover briefly, even if it, just for a little while, is I think that all that's being thrown at Donald Trump, okay, all these different indictments and legal battles, this is for sure election interference, okay? And they are trying to stop him from having the ability to properly focus on running for office and getting his message out there and doing the things he has to do. But he seems to be still keeping up with it, which is wonderful and amazing. And I think the only advantage that Trump has right now is luckily he is a person who has lots and lots of money and that he can have people dealing with it for him. He can have the attorneys and everybody there to handle all these cases.
Yes. And I guess you can get used to anything, but from the time, you know, he came down that elevator at Trump Tower, he has constantly had to wage multiple battles.
Of course.
Not just his own election, but he's had all of these legal things that's just been one after the other that's been thrown at him. So I guess the point of that is he somehow seems to be able to cope with it. And whereas I think other people would just fold and say, that's it. I'm going to go home to Mar-a-Lago and I'm going to have a good life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that he knows that he's the only person who can really do it. And sadly, all of these people running, when we talk about the GOP candidates, I don't feel that any of them even have an ounce of energy for it, nor do they care. They're happy to play ball with the other side. And they would, God forbid, if one of them get elected, they're just going to roll over.
Well, you know, I don't know. I would hope that that would not be the case, but the track record hasn't exactly been all that great, has it?
No, it has not. So, but anyway, I think that in general, you know, we talked about what happens with the election. We don't know what's going to go on for 2024. But let's also talk about a smaller situation with Bob Menendez and what happened there with his corruption.
That is absolutely incredible. You know, what, $500,000 in his home? Was that the amount of the gold bars that were there?
You know what? He settled, no, because he said a lot of it was cash withdrawals over the years out of his own, you know, legitimately earned income.
But, you know, I don't know how he got out. You know, this is the second time, of course, that he's been charged.
Yes, I remember.
And he managed to get out of it the first time. But it doesn't seem like his behavior changed very much from what I understand. So, and, you know, I don't forget now what the count, but like I think 20-some senators have been saying he should resign.
Yeah, I think it'll go there. I sure hope so. And the other thing that was really, really crazy, you know, Christine Ohm endorsed Trump, okay? And she's wonderful at what she does. Her state is South Dakota. She's doing great, okay? a lot of jobs being created there, a lot of freedom. People are very happy. Now, for me, I never felt like she would be the VP pick. And I still don't believe that. But out of this, then suddenly, you know, here comes, you know, the Democrat dirt being flung at Kristi Noem. And now there's all these stories, just like they're doing to Russell Brand and all these other people. Well, now it's time to get Kristi Noem, you know, all splattered in mud or whatever you want to call it. And they're saying that now they're saying that she's having an affair with Corey Lewandowski, who used to work with Donald Trump, and that Corey Lewandowski is also married and Kristi Noem is married and blah, blah, blah. Do you care, Robert, what somebody does in their bedroom?
In the big picture, no, but I will tell you the problem that we have, as conservatives. I think, you know, there is a lot of people that the moral standard really is an important factor. And they are moving to try to tear her down. And it makes me think that it probably is, and who knows, it may even be from other people in the Republican Party who don't want her to, you know, they'd like to move into that VP spot.
You never know. But for me, I just remember when Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and all of this happened, and he wasn't vice president, he was the president.
Right.
Okay. And I remember when all that happened, Democrats were up in arms because this was about his personal life, and mm-hmm. this had nothing to do with his ability to govern and blah, 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 blah. Well, now that's how I feel about Kristi Noem. I really don't care. How do we know? Maybe her husband is nasty. Maybe his husband or her husband has someone else. You know, just to me, that's a very personal situation. If it's true, if it's not true, it doesn't interfere. If she's effective, and she does a good job, and apparently she does. So what? It wouldn't stop me. It would not stop me. And I think it's just a nasty, nasty game. And politicians have played it this way for many, many years. So I'm not saying this is a new thing, you know? No. But we've had John Edwards and a million other Democrats who have cheated. And John Edwards' wife had cancer and was dying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have a... We have sort of a sordid past, if you will, that that's gone back for a long time, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a different standard, I think, in that the press did not feel like it was their job to out.
Oh, absolutely. People. They even did this, you know, in England, you know, regarding the royal family. If there was like, even when Edward was with Wallace Simpson, and back in the day it was a big deal because like she was divorced and he's the future king and oh my God, he can't date her. But they knew when they never reported it. They looked the other way. They wouldn't say it.
Yes. And I think now in hindsight, people knew that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had, you know, multiple mistresses over that time, and yet mm-hmm. the press absolutely, so that they saw it as that wasn't really affecting his ability to be the president, so mm-hmm. nobody talked about it.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, you know, that's pretty much where I'm coming from. I think somebody would have to do something really insane in their personal life, you know, for me to sit there and say, okay, that disqualifies them from office. And I think more what's going on with Joe Biden right now disqualifies him from office more than if he had some person keeping him company besides Jill Biden.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So. Oh, but Kristi, I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Who, in your mind, would be the best running mate for Donald Trump should he get the nomination?
Well, you know, a lot of people initially started talking about Carrie Lake, and I find her very presentable and articulate, but no, I don't think it's her, and people have said that she's, you know, running for the Senate. I don't believe that it would be Kristi Noem. And so right now, I really don't know. You know, I can't say that there's one person that I've looked at. You know, look, for me, I love how Trump and Ted Cruz kind of started out as adversaries, and then when, you know, Trump won and they became friends, I think that'd be amazing. You know, I like him a lot. I think that he's a very strong advocate for our Constitution, our laws. People have even speculated he'd be good for the Supreme Court. So he's a pretty smart guy.
I would love that. I have thought that for quite some time. He would be a great candidate, in my view, for the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, I will say this, and I don't know if we've discussed this before. I know I wanted to. Somebody who I was so, so enamored with and thought so highly of him, and he was so smart and so sharp and just all of this energy. And Trey Gowdy. What the hell happened?
Yep, he just folded and left. And I don't know whether he's, ever thinking of getting back into the political arena. I don't know what soured him on that.
Well, I think it could be, you know, that it's such an ugly place and some people are too, you know, honest to their own self or their own morals, or maybe he just kind of saw that, you know, I ain't going to make any changes here. You know what I'm saying? They made him say, okay, you know, walking away, going back home, going to make some money and take care of my family and make my life easy. You know, maybe he, you know, the same way Donald Trump could have done at any point. But I'm very saddened and disappointed by it because I think that he had so much to offer, or it appeared to be that he did.
Yes, very, very, very smart. And I was always very impressed with him, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Me too. But as far as, you know, the VP pick, it remains to be seen. We don't know, but time will tell.
Yes, and I'll have to check in now with you to see. You may have to start sort of a little betting pool for the VP horse race.
No, we gotta make a list, Robert. We gotta sit there and just kind of look at everybody and be like, who is the right person? And I also don't want it to be like, oh, I'm picking a woman just because this is fashionable. Yeah, I don't go for that stuff. I don't believe that it has to be a female. I would just want it to be somebody who kind of brings something more to the ticket. So my mind is open.
Now, there's been some talk of Tim Scott.
You know, I don't know about him. I think that there's, you know, he says a lot of the right stuff, but I don't know. I just don't know that. I can't put my finger on it.
Oh, I do love his story, you know, about up from, you know, sheer poverty to where he is today is an incredibly positive story.
It is, but sadly we're becoming a country where that's not possible anymore. You know, his story, because it's, you know, all being shut down and things have changed in a way that I don't think that somebody could achieve what he did or make it in this environment in the same manner.
Well, that would be a very sad turn of events, Crystal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's, again, where our country's at. It's pretty sad. And we don't know what's going to happen, but we can all just keep going forward, keep fighting, and hope that things turn around. And again, it all rests on 2024. But anyway, Robert, I do want to say thank you very much. I've had an excellent time with you today. You did a great job here. Thank you.
Well, it's always my pleasure, and I hope we'll have future opportunities.
Oh, we sure will. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week. And we're going to close out the show now with a word from our sponsor. We'll see you all again soon. Thank you very much.
Life, Liberty, and Coffee, Liberty Beans Coffee Company. At Liberty Beans Coffee Company, there is an old proverb that we like to live by. It says, never underestimate the importance of being properly caffeinated. Here at Liberty Beans Coffee Company, not only do we believe in freedom and the American way, Jim and Diane invite you to check out their family-owned unlimited selection of delicious and delectable coffee beans that are crafted right here in the good old U.S. of A. Not only is this the richest, most genuine cup of coffee, perhaps after you drink it, you will check out their website at www.libertybeans.com and join by partnering up with Jim and Diane to help you with either you or your favorite group's personally created fundraiser. Liberty Beans Coffee Company, Life, Liberty, and Coffee, Just drink it all in.
Although we can't speak about everyone, our founder, Paula Eventrenda, loves candy and was obsessed with it as a child. While in junior high, Paula began making chocolate candies with an elderly neighbor for the holidays. Through many business travels, she rediscovered the art of candy making, and in particular, artisan chocolates from Europe. Shortly after opening her retail store, there were lots of requests for sugar-free candy. Having a grandmother who loved sweets and was diabetic, as well as being worried about the amount of sugar she herself consumed, but not loving the sugar-free candies available, Paula set out on a mission to create healthier gourmet sugar-free confections. If you love chocolate and want it with or without sugar, visit curlygirlscandy.com. That's girls with a Z on the end. And subscribe to their email list for special discounts all year long. Go to curlygirlscandy.com to get sugar-free gourmet chocolate for 100% indulgence and 0% guilt. curlygirlscandy.com. That's girls with a Z.
America First Tactical is dedicated in offering you the very best safety, security, and self-defense products available today. In recent years, crime rates, increases in assault, robbery, and the defunding of the police have become a major concern for law-abiding citizens. The police can no longer respond, and you are responsible for you and your loved ones who may depend on you for safety. That's where we come in with Tactical Products for Less. We have tasers, stun guns, self-defense keychains, pepper spray, batons, auto safety, knives, handcuffs, tactical bodywear, firearm holsters, and a whole lot more. For operator assistance, use promo code CRYSTAL for 10% off. Call 1-800-960-2015. That's 1-800-960-2015. America First Tactical.